Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarny Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 90.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob yarn up strong? Too deadly. Here's a statement. Banks are happy to promote reconciliation. So why aren't they financially committed? That's the question. And we're going to talk to Dean Foley, entrepreneur and founder at Burriyamal, and talk about this space. On the line, Dean, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm well. My brother, thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Kimilori, Gunda, rural New South Wales.
Thank you. Beautiful footprint. Thank you, my brother. So there lies the question. Banks are happy to promote reconciliation, so why aren't they financially committed? So enlighten us, please. What can they can do more, can they not?
It's a billion-dollar question. And I've actually started doing some opinion articles for National Indigenous Times too. So I've just sent the banks a message just saying, you know, are you going to comment and reply to this? You know, why aren't you incorporating lending targets, financial targets, like house loans, business loans, in the reconciliation action plans? And I only sent it like a day or two ago, so I haven't heard back from them, but hopefully,
yes,
we'll reply.
Watch the space.
Yeah, 100%. I've also,
it's well, when you look at it, Dean, it seems like a tick of the box.
Yeah. 100%.
The statement says banks are happy to promote reconciliation, so aren't they financially committed? Well, we tick the box. What else do you want? You know, put some meat in the sandwich, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't want to say it, but you did. But it seems that way, right? I mean, they were and they might still be the most profitable banks in the world. So it's not like they're going to go poor, you know, helping blackfellas
exactly.
out. And, you know, they've profited a lot, you know, from...
Big time. And we're talking $1 billion in profit, and that's the four major banks, you know?
Exactly. And they've been around, you know...
Since day dot.
Just probably 30
just
years
after the white sales came in, I think.
Yeah, exactly. The financial institutions were setting up. So it's not like, you know, they haven't, they just came about and they haven't profited from stolen land and that kind of stuff. So, you know, they.
And it's not like it's a handout we're asking for, Dean. We're asking like a hand up, you know? And there shows their commitment to empowering Indigenous people in business or getting a loan for a house or whatever the case may be, you know. That's what we're asking. That's what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're asking for. And the banks, the big banks, we're talking about big banks. We're not talking about small banks or community banks. We're talking about the big four, big five, and the most profitable in the world. So, you know, it's like, you know, 3% population, they're not going to go bankrupt by, you know, giving out loans to blackfellas and charging a little bit less.
Well, it's still a business transaction, and the so-called First Nation people have become clients of theirs, and they will make their profit on the rebate, will they not?
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
That's a big reason, too. Like, they complain about, you know, risk they perceive. From what I've heard, you know, off record, is, you know, they perceive you know, people more risky, and obviously we don't have assets like non-Indigenous people. So, but the thing is, these big banks, it's not like they're 100%.
Sure. Well, if you're looking at a house loan, you're looking at 20% commission, 20% deposit. Well, let's offer 15% deposit. They're still going to profit out of it, are they not?
Well, the thing is, they get special treatment from the Reserve Bank of Australia and the federal government, right? So they get, like, bank loan guarantors where the Australian government would give them money to lend out money.
Yep.
They're guaranteed by the federal government to not go bankrupt. You know, if they get into shit, then the government, you know, the Big Four will be bankrupt by the government. And the Reserve Bank too, right?
So yes, exactly.
They actually give them lower interest rates than the smaller banks and community banks. So they've got more capacity, more fiduciary responsibility to actually put their money where their mouth is.
Exactly.
And start setting targets.
Well, exactly. And when you're looking at it, as the statement says, banks are happy to promote reconciliation. Well, they're promoting reconciliation by hand up. They can have more, how you say, skin in the game. They can do a bit more than just tick the box.
Yeah, and that's what we want. We just want a fair go, just like every other Australian. I think it was the First Nations Foundation did a study like a year or two ago and found out that, you know, supposedly 75% of mob was struggling to get, you know, access to financial services within the last 12 months. So, you know, it is obviously a big, you know, problem in community, getting access to finance. And guess what? You know, for all those other businesses listed on Reconciliation Australia, like, not bagging them out, but the banks are where the money is. You know, but you don't have to worry about employment if you're a bank.
The other thing I was thinking, Dean, let's compare to the other people who are on the list regarding the reconciliation and, you know, whatever company or whatever industry they're in, what have they done extra rather than just tick the box, acknowledge, compared to banks who are billion-dollar profitable companies?
Oh, yeah. They've got so much money, the profit margins are, you know, out of this world. And, they get special support from the federal government and the Reserve Bank of Australia. So, you know, fiduciary responsibility to give back and help out is the least they can do. And they do have employment targets, which are nice. Like, most of them aren't hitting those targets. But it's like, dude, who cares about employment? You're a bank. You've got money. You've got money. Start giving us money.
Exactly. And it is pittance compared to the amount of money they do make.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to go bankrupt.
No.
Just giving up the hand up.
Like, no, sure, exactly. And like I said, it becomes a discount in regard to the space of reconciliation to a potential client. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And then they got more clients at the table with this discount. Like, I know here in the tourist industry here in Cairns, we've struggled thanks to COVID-19, but we all tour operators still offer like a 30% discount to local people, you know, just to get heads and beds, bums and seats, you know. But we got them, we got the locals who come out and do the trips, whether it be out in the reef, they come back, and then they got 3 months later, families coming up from Sydney, they take the same family out on the same trip. So that's a bonus in regard to the discount that we've given, you know?
Mm.
So it's just bad business transactions is what I'm saying in regard to a multi-billion dollar companies like banks. It's very sad. And hence the question, and I'd love to know what the response is. When you do get a response, please call us back, Dean, and let us know how they've responded to that, because it's dead air at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah,
crickets.
Crickets at the moment, but, hopefully they get back. And again, I probably need another coffee, but I did email to, you know, the federal government asking for comment. You know, are they going to, you know, is the Labor federal government going to actually start pushing for the banks to incorporate targets? Because, like I said, it's not like the banks don't get any special treatment. They do, so they have a greater fiduciary responsibility to, you know, all Australians, and more so obviously to First Nations people to start putting their money where their mouth is. Like, it's good to have employment targets and that kind of stuff.
But sure.
You're a bank, you've got heaps of cash sitting there, start helping them out.
Well, you look every year after the financial year, end of the financial year, all the profits that come out to the public, they advertise and they promote it. You know what I mean? There's billions of dollars there.
Oh, yeah. They're it's one of the biggest industries in Australia and most profitable in the world. So
in actual fact, we say as First Nation people, and I think you will agree, well, don't even tick the box then. You know, if you're talking about reconciliation, don't even tick the box if you're not going to put no action behind the ticking.
Yeah, well, if they're a bank and they've got no financial lending targets, why have they got a rap?
Hello, there you go. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. There it is. So I'm waiting for that response. Love to hear from you when the response comes through. If it does, crickets. But please do let us know, Dean.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Yeah, I really appreciate it. And always good to catch up for you, Jan. So I'll definitely let you know.
Thanks, Dean. All the best, brother. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bro.
Deadly beautiful yarn there, and that's Dean Foley, entrepreneur and founder at Burriyamal. And the question that was put out there in regard to the banks are happy to promote reconciliation, so why aren't they financially committed? Reconciliation has become a loaded term in Australian politics, with many people claiming to know what it means, but few actually committing to its practical implementation. So there lies the question. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Bully One here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. E kui na tatanga ngola nanam kutana e kikin wayangula kanau kana e ngayay na e kui na tatanga e kui na tatanga ngola nanam kutana
from the oceans to the
To Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your saying, Yarn Upstrong, 1-800-422-416. All right, now, IBAC ordered highlights inadequacies in Victoria's police handling of complaints by Aboriginal people. IBAC is independent, broad-based anti-corruption commission. And we're going to talk to Kylie Kilgour, Deputy Commissioner at IBAC. On the line, Kylie, good morning. How are you?
G'day, Trevor. I'm good, thanks. A bit cold down here in Melbourne.
Well, I'm sitting up here, a pair of shorts and singlet on, sister, so come and join us in far north Queensland.
I wish I could.
Yeah, cold down that way. But look, thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about this report released by Victoria's Anti-Corruption Independent Police Oversight Body, and has highlighted concerning patterns and deficiencies in Victoria's police handling of police complaints by Aboriginal people, particularly children and young people. So there's a problem there.
Yep, that's right. So IBAC conducted this research report over the last couple of years. We've audited 54 files of Aboriginal people who made complaints to Victoria Police in 2018. Mm. And we found that, in 46% of matters, those complaints are about police use of force. And a lot of those complaints, 41% of those matters, they're complaints that involve young Aboriginal people, so Aboriginal people aged 17 years or younger, and that's very concerning to us.
Look, we have my program here. We have Edmonton Police here in Cairns come on the program once a week. And it's so funny that we were talking yesterday about cameras that all police officers do have. And when they're in a situation, everything's all recorded. And Senior Sergeant Len Delia did state the fact that he then goes back when he gets a complaint. That's his first port of call, is the camera. You know what I mean? And they act on it for or against the police officer or for the complainant.
Yeah, so we had cameras also introduced into Victoria Police around about the same time. So sort of over 2016, 2017, they first started getting them. And so these days, everyone's got cameras on, and that does help IBAC as well when we investigate complaints to be able to see exactly what happened.
Yeah, and then that's a powerful tool, isn't it, for a complainer when a person is putting in a complaint. They should be acting on that complaint. And what you're saying here is they're not acting on the complaint.
Yeah, unfortunately, we do see some investigations where they haven't collected all of the evidence that's been available to them to be able to work out what exactly went on. Mm. And again, when we find out about that, we take steps to get that sorted out with Victoria Police.
Well, it's about who polices the police, so to speak. So this is very important information. Yeah. And there's, there's a hole in the bucket, so to speak, and they need to fix that hole big time.
Yeah, for sure. And it's really important that community know about your rights to complain about police. I know I'm talking nationally, so in Victoria you can complain to us if you don't want to go to Victoria Police yourselves. But in all other jurisdictions, all the other states and territories, similar agencies to IBAC exist.
Yes, and I was just about to ask you that. Yes, because this is a national problem. If it's a state problem, it could be across other territories and states as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be pretty confident to say that what we've uncovered in our audit will be going on in other jurisdictions as well.
So where do we go from here, Kylie? The information does show this. How do we act on it to make sure that, closing the gap in complaints department?
So we've made 10 recommendations in our report to Victoria Police that they're currently considering. So that's things like them setting up a dedicated complaints handling service for Aboriginal community to go to, because at the moment it can be done by police officers all over the state, and we really think we need a dedicated service that Aboriginal people can go to. Similarly, IBAC will be making some changes to how we prioritise investigations of complaints by Aboriginal people. And so if people want to come and tell us about things that have been going on, we're really keen to hear from community. We're also going to be out and about talking to community about the 10 recommendations and how do we make sure that Victoria Police implement our recommendations, and how can community play a part in things like our recommendations around better training for Victoria Police officers, around how they work with Aboriginal young people when they're arrested, and stuff like how they record and ask those questions about, are you Indigenous? Which again, in our audit, what we've discovered is that still Victoria police officers are not accurately recording people's Aboriginal status.
Yes.
And so then some of the service delivery stuff that's meant to happen if you're an Aboriginal person in custody isn't happening, and that's also really concerning to us, and that shouldn't be going on.
Well, you know, exactly.
We've been talking about Indigenous status in the justice system for way too long, and we just need to keep on their case.
Well, exactly. If we're talking at the foundation of handling complaints, then we're talking about less First Nation people incarceration. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a beginning of the conversation in regard to the situation.
Yeah. And if you don't identify that someone's Indigenous when you're talking to them or when you're arresting them, a whole bunch of bad things can flow from that.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, our audit shows that still they haven't got that right.
Well, exactly. And then if the question is asked, then they can go to ATSL, for example, because of a situation we're dealing with a First Nation person, because they did ask the question. You know, it just gives you, help you navigate through the situation if you're a police officer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with this finding in regard to the report, that's Victoria. Does IBAC then now look at other states and territories?
I don't have that jurisdiction, unfortunately, but we share our reports with other similar agencies around the country, and so they may, you know, they may pick up what we're saying and do their own work on it. Yeah.
Well, hopefully they do. Do you have a national conference or get together with the all IBAC independent broadcast, anti-corruption commission?
Yeah.
Do you guys have national meetings? Conversations like that should be across the table.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, our commissioners get together at least once a year, if not more, when they can. We shared the findings of this report at the last commissioners' meeting.
All right, good. So watch the space. Kylie, thank you very much for sharing. You stay warm. All the best to you, and we'll talk soon, sister.
Thanks for having us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there, and that's Kylie Kilgara, her name is, Deputy Commissioner at IBAC. IBAC is Independent Broad-Based Anti-Corruption Commission, and we're talking about their findings. Their audit highlights inadequacies in Victoria's police handling of complaints by Aboriginal people. But as we just found out, if that's happening in Victoria, it may be happening in other states and territories. She herself has got no authority regarding other states and territories, but a conversation need to be had, don't you think? This is your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Where I live, in the bush. You got trying to take away your suburban backyard. We won't be steering any sheep down on your farm. My life is different to yours. What are you worried for? You got the money, you got the love, you got it all, but you still don't stop.
It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, welcome back, you deadly mob, to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumabrib Media, 19.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text our brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Let's look at top stories in the news today. 50% of staff quit as firms near collapse. Embattled Victorian building company Snowden Developments allegedly can't pay superannuation to staff. New Zealand's housing market is flashing warning signs for Australia. Defence send a second jet into South China Sea hours after dangerous interception by a Chinese flight. New details have emerged of last month's dangerous mid-air incident involving a Chinese jet fighter. The RAAF sent a second aircraft just hours after a Chinese fighter intercepted an Australian plane over the South China Sea. Beijing says it was responding to Australia's surveillance of the disputed Paracel Islands. So wait for that response. They're just killing each other. Slain bikie's wife breaks silence. Also, the Australian state's new date set for Higgins rape trial after Wilkinson's Logie's speech. Lee Sales faces her toughest and funniest interview yet. Industry peak body calls out Indigenous exclusion in latest unemployment rates. Talk about that. Brad Pitt's bombshell career announcement. Oops, unearthed footage shows Ivana Trump was all in on her father's attempt to overturn the election. Michelle Bridges tips to keeping weight off, and drone crashes into Russian oil refinery in possible attack. So there's the headlines for today's news. Yarn about those topics or whatever is happening in your neck of the woods. All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. 15 minutes left on the program. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? We've got someone on the line. Good morning, my brother.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, but the thing, when I got to celebrate, you don't get anything out of life unless you put something into it, and it's just like this program, brother. But big shout out to brother Tony there, Goldsboro.
Yes.
I was dealing with other reality, brother, like yeah, the Creek, Mangro River, and what's another? Home and Away, brother.
Home and Away.
Yeah, but I've been listening to the program since March. I think I'm dealing with other stuff.
Mm.
But I listened to your program again this morning. And
good, brother.
The first one of that that's speaking, and I was thinking about Daikyo, Christopher's case, and Yazuka, I think, again. And how other white Australians here were complaining about, you know, the other white Australians here got language, but they didn't have word signage in Japanese like they would do here.
Mm.
And I was thinking about those special places, you know, that... they only had preferred places where they could shop, certain people, the Japanese can shop, and not the other ones.
Yes.
The casino was put up there, it was for the high rollers. They didn't think about the locals, the white locals, and they had they just started, you know, sort of excluded their old friends in Australia, you know, brother. Yeah, and other standard of dress. I was thinking about that when you was talking, and... the other one I wanted to add, my opinion on is I think his colleague from Fingerway, and I'm glad you said that, brother. I'm glad you said that. You got this, you know, when Glenn Delay come on and brother Robbie, I always, you know, praise old brother Robbie Dima for having this concept. My issue too is still with on my home community with Chris Haley and other places, there's still no police negotiator. And when I got sober, after 10 years of being sober, I wanted to get a mugshot of me when I was 19 from the Darwin cop shop. And I ended up talking to Darrell Mandy, who was the police public relations officer. And he said that their job is to foster a good relationship between the public and the police. And this so far, what the and I have been doing is that. And I sometimes go into Townsville and Cairns crime site, and I stay there. I said, if you want to go on, and I think the only thing is now is like a Q&A, you know, like maybe they can sort of, like you've got that text number, they can send the questions in.
They can do that, yep.
In,
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
some people don't want to go on air, so they can, we use that other format or the Facebook page, yes.
And the feedback's good for everybody, brother.
Of course it is.
Chris Early, you know, in the Gold Coast, you know, maybe we have that sort of stuff to happen to them, but the thing is, you know, they say, oh, more white folks get in custody than we do, but I tell you what, I get choked up. Our moral, brother. We never lost our moral compass, brother.
Exactly.
The moral compass. But we should be marching, what I said, more white folks at death in custody.
True that.
Rick Flory, brother, it's on footage. And it was an honest cop. He spoke about the cops bashing and falling in the back. And the working environment wasn't good for him.
Yeah.
Negro copper.
Exactly.
And then 7:30, if anybody want to look at 7:30, Yvonne Berry, she was 25 years a cop, and the way she was treated in the watchers. And, you know, Chris Haley, you know, they talk about, they had that fellow Leavers up there supporting, you know, the territory bully man, you know, Ian Leavers, the police union fellow. And they don't tell you, Chris Haley, he talked at Luke Cole, the fellow, his name is public name, they choked him out of white fellow. And it was a police pursuit, and as well he assaulted another police constable, a female police officer, you know, brother.
Mm.
And then I tell you about the police, but we had a good, but really they give this impression that we hate all the bully men. Brother, we had a good policeman at Palm Island, and it was Trevor Adcock. Mm. And in my own experience, brother, you know, like I told it before, in Darwin, was on the, when I was in the grog, there was a copper looking for me. And I thought, straight away, everybody was telling us what was the word. He had a job for me, brother.
Yeah.
And a check, brother, made for my body name. It wasn't illegal to use a body name, but he had a check for me. Actually, I had a check. I had a check with that for my body name. And the only place I could get an ID was through the cop shop. And it was an underground cop shop in Darwin then. And he took me out to the bank and got that check cash. And another time in Sydney, in the central police station, brother, there was a cop issue, sergeant, I think it was sergeant, and the issue manager came out because a lot of skid boy alcoholics here too,
yep.
And myself included. He used to have monkey blood there, brother, in a small paper cup. And of course, we were sick in the morning, and he gave it as an eye opener, brother, and there that humanity did come out, and there are coppers that want to speak at. And I'll read a bit of that Carl Dillon books, you know, brother. They're good trainees that come into the force, and they want to do the right thing, but they got that other mob, you know,
Looking over their shoulder.
Yeah, brother. Okay, thank you, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Too deadly. So there it is, a beautiful story there by Selwyn. Cops were looking for him, and all the mob tell him, hey, cops looking for you, where the copper had a job for him and had a check. Yeah, good cop, bad cop. We were talking about that yesterday. But look, it's fantastic. We're having our yarns here on National Talk Black, and all topics, and all different people come online and yarn up strong. So it is fantastic. Too deadly a mob and yarning up strong here on National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call. Got about 9 minutes left on the program, and we've got news coming up very soon. So do add.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, Ned Malik, that's Black Bala Music here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Well, it's come to the time where Trendy Trev signs off here for the program for today. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That daily number 12 is 1-800-422-416. 12 noon coming up. News coming up here very soon. Queensland time, that is. But thank you very much for your company, Mob. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And we'll yarn soon, you Mob. Too deadly. Thank you.
You got to think of the seasons, there'll be rain.